So welcome back to the second hour with Eleanor and Linda this wonderful Saturday, January 15th.
2022.
Woohoo! And I can't believe it. I'm already booking for 2023.
Okay. Are we ready?
Amen. Yes.
For some ankle suppleness, ankle flexibility, and all that the ankles provide for us. So imagine that, or not imagine, oh, that's my Feldenkrais talking, sorry. Imagine all the ankles sliding forward and back. There's a song and everything. It might not be well sung, but anyway, okay. So bring yourself forward to the front of your chair. And this is delicious. It's easy. It's exploration. And I find it utterly fascinating to be able to wake up the movement in our ankle joints. And if you want a little bit of neuroscience, there is amazing proprioception that happens within our ankle joints. We make this amazing neurotransmitter called GABA, gamma amino butyric acid. They used to think it was just in the big joints, so they thought it was only in the hip joints. So there was a type of therapy done with children that had processing issues and learning issues and focusing issues and attention issues. And they just press into the hips like that was going to do it. And we're like, oh, we got that. Let's get on the floor and do the army crawl, right? We took it into something functioning. So now we also, you know, there were some who had this idea, I'll bet it's in all joints. Why would it just be in some joints? So now we know it's also in the ankle joints, et cetera. But it's a beautiful neurotransmitter that makes its way and teams through the body and goes to the brain and helps us to think better. So think about people with stiff ankles, and is there slightly a stiff attitude? Just asking. Rigidity, right? Leslie, I see some nodding in that. I'm always thinking these things. So we get these softnesses that happen. It goes everywhere through us. It becomes every part of us. And just because we're flexible in our body and mind and thinking, I'm not talking hyperflexibility, just flexibility in our body, mind, and thinking doesn't mean that we can't be strong to our values and potent in our beliefs and hold ourselves strong, right? We can still do that as we have that flexibility, because the flexibility is what saves our lives. It is what allows us to turn in either direction and get the heck out of the place if something is falling out of the sky on us, right? You know, Moshe would say, you never know when you're walking in New York City, you shouldn't just look forward, you should look up. Because it was on occasion, there was a piano falling out of the sky, you know, with the piano movers in the high rise. So it's like, you have to be able to move all over, and that's flexible. Flexible minds and flexible bodies. So let's think in terms of suppleness and movement again in our flexible ankles. You know, I wrote down, of course, I left that sticky at my other house, but what I called today's course. So, oh, well, it was a good one. It was something about walking, but it was lovely. So we'll go with flexible ankles and flexible minds today on this one. So as you're sitting there and you just let your hands rest, you can actually let your hands rest on your lap, or rest on the chair to the sides of you, but just slowly take off your shoes so that you're with socks. If you're not socks, put a rug, something under so you can slide your foot. I want you to be able to slide your feet without them sticking to anything. You're all ready? Okay, good. So let one foot start to slide forward. So you're sitting forward in your chair, not all the way at the edge, but comfortably. And you slide the foot forward and then slide the foot back. And just notice what happens in the extending and flexing of your ankle. Keep both the ball and the heel of your foot along the floor as you slide it forward and back.
Can you say that again, Eleanor?
So your foot is on the floor and you're sliding it forward so the ankle extends, and then you're sliding it back, but you still keep the heel. Don't bring the heel off the floor, right? So you still bring it back, but it's flexing the ankle joint. And then you slide it forward and it extends the ankle joint, but the ball of the foot and the heel of the foot stay on the floor at all times. So what you're getting is movement in the ankle. So this is the ankle, right? So you're moving the ankle. Make sense?
Yes.
And just slide it forward so that it's really extending, but you're not activating muscle groups. You're not doing any kind of stretch exercise. You're really just looking at the suppleness of sliding the foot smoothly and letting that ankle open up all the way, and then keeping the ball of the foot and the heel on the floor and sliding it however far back it goes, that it's closing that joint in the ankle. Now, when you bring the foot forward and bring the foot back, does something happen in your low back? Can you feel that your low back maybe rounds out as you slide your foot all the way in front of you? And by the way, I'm loving looking at how Jennifer is sitting out in her garden. This is my favorite thing to do. Sliding your foot forward. What happens in your low back? See, oh, thank you, Teresa. I love seeing your profile. And Martin, yes, I love seeing your profiles. You can see that when you slide the foot forward, the back rounds out behind you. And when you slide the foot back, keeping the ball and the heel on the floor, the pelvis rocks forward and it arches the back a little bit. And what you can do is take one hand and put it behind your back, your low back, or behind your back and waistline area, and slide the foot forward and back. Can you feel the movement of your low back when you slide your foot forward and back? No. Jewel, you said no? Oh, you were knowing to somebody else.
Yes, I said no.
Oh, you don't feel it?
No. I feel my sacrum go like this. I don't feel my back.
Side.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm the same, Eleanor. I'm the same.
Okay. Goody, good. Are you ready? This is good. So put the other hand on your heart. One hand behind your low back. The other hand on your heart and under your clavicles. Your fingers and thumb are under your clavicles. And as you slide the foot forward, the hand on the chest moves your chest down. And then when you slide the foot back, let the fingers pull your chest up. So let's actively make it, create that happening. So you use your hand that's on your chest to raise your chest up. And then your hand pushes your sternum down as you slide your foot forward. Does that make sense, Linda and Jewel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does it make a difference in your sit bones now?
Definitely.
See, isn't it great that we can use our own hands to guide us? I love it. And then use the hand that's behind the head, behind the low back, that when you slide the foot back, use that hand behind to push into your low back and use the hand that's on your chest to lift your chest up. And I know that that's like me asking you to rub your belly and pat your head. So yeah. Let's come back to the middle and rest with both of our hands for a moment and we'll come back to it. Letting yourself breathe. Keeping it easy. Inhaling through your nose a couple of times and out through pursed lips, cleansing yourself, feeling so good. And again, with the same foot sliding, the same hand behind your back, and the same hand on your chest and sternum, slide the foot forward and use your hand on your chest to push your chest down. Slide your foot back and use your hands on your chest to lift your chest up and your sternum. Do you see, your clavicles, your collarbones. You're under the collarbones and you lift them up. And then keeping the contact of your hand behind your back, let it just go with the flow. You don't have to actively push. Just feel the movement happen as you lift your sternum up and glide the foot back and the heel stays to the floor. And then the heel and foot slide forward and you push your chest down. And just one more time, bring the chest up and slide the foot back. Does the heel go back further than it did in the beginning? With more ease and flexibility, by the way? Yes. We didn't strengthen anything. We woke up its inner intelligence. I much prefer to do that. And I was a gym rat all my life, but I love waking up my inner intelligence. When I watched my mother age gracefully to the age of 93, it wasn't about strength and power. It was about the desire of movement and the love and the life of it.
You just fixed my whole body. Thank you.
Isn't it wonderful? So now come back and let yourself rest and feel if there's something that feels different in that leg, that ankle, that foot, oh heck, that whole side of you that feels more included, awake, alive, light. That's what ankle movement does.
You guys are the real professionals. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank
you. The real. You see, it is about going back to the old original and not having to make it something else. That old original, when the cells know what they're doing, and we just waken those up. That it doesn't matter how old a person is, that vitality still is there. Sure, maybe things aren't the same, but that's not what we're looking for. But when we keep the cells alive through movement and breathing and coordination without an exercise being attached to it, and remembering pleasure and laughter, there's learning. So let's take the other foot and give this gift to the other side, because my foot I used was my right foot to slide forward and back, and it just feels so alive. And when I say tingly, I don't mean the neuropathy type of tingly. It's like sparkles of lightness in that. So I would like to have that in my left side. And so whatever side you didn't work on, let's bring that side and just slide that foot forward and back. And notice, does it even slide along the floor the same as the other one? Does it go as far back as the other one? Do you maybe catch yourself holding your breath at some point as you slide it back? These are great things to notice, because those are the indicators that that foot, that ankle, that leg could use more loving attention. So now we'll take the other hand, put it behind the back, and we'll slide that other foot forward so that it stretches out in front of you and it rocks your back to go backwards behind you. And then we slide the foot all the way, how comfortably, nothing about pain and gain, but keeping the heel and ball of the foot to the floor behind us. And it arches our back. We can feel that with the hand behind the back, that the back arches. That's great. See, I'm looking for you nodding your heads or shaking your heads. I'm always watching it. You know, yeah, what works, what doesn't work. And so just doing that. So when you really slide it forward, it rounds your back.
And Eleanor, I find myself at first until you said it, trying to do more instead of less.
Yeah, right? Because everything in society says you've got to apply effort. And we're not saying don't apply effort. We're saying notice what you're doing. There's something so different in self-awareness. And now time more than any time, in the time of when everything on the internet goes so fast and our phones flip by so fast, we want to really slow down and go into this awareness through this movement. And it's not a meditation, but it is a meditation within movement of awareness of what you're doing. And then come back, let the hand rest on your legs. And again, put the hand behind your back. And Sandra, you do as little as you want, as the movements, as small as you want. But even when you do them in your imagination, it is amazing the improvement that happens in the body. And so with the hand behind the back and slide that foot forward and it rounds the back forward. Oh, excuse me. Put the other hand on your chest, on your heart, and the thumb under one collarbone and the fingers on under the other collarbone, so that when you stretch the foot out in front of you, it pushes your chest down. And then when you slide the foot, keeping the heel in contact at all times, sliding it a little back, how far back it goes comfortably. It's not about hitting any point of discomfort, but that you use your fingers to raise your chest up. And then you can lower your chest down and slide your foot forward. And then you slide your foot back and you use your fingers to raise your chest up. We're adding coordinated, harmonious movements of the whole body together. Together. It doesn't matter anybody's health or wellness condition. Everybody can do a little part of this and learn. And then from here, with our improvement, we can go to bigger and stronger programs. But first, we have to look at all of this in how we use ourselves. Otherwise, when we go to use those other programs, we can't figure out why we're still not getting it, right? Yeah, I see. Becky, you got it, right? Completely. And it's like you said, it's the knowing with lax ligaments, right? It's the getting these lessons to get this coordination that we can just be on top of our body. Neither here nor there. And in that stillness and in that quietness, there's something so great in the learning in our whole systems that can happen. Come back, let both hands slide back down. Is that awakening happening on that other side? Yeah. And here's the thing. Even if there's neuropathy in the legs or one leg more than the other, we can still wake up that skin, those muscles in that. Because we're driving it in a biological process. Does that make sense? So does anybody have neuropathy in one of their legs? Okay, just a few of us? Okay, well, I would expect more. Well, okay, but still, did you notice that when you slid the foot forward and back and you added this movement, there was something of awakening up in that outer side of that leg. There you go. And where there's neuropathy becomes a stiffer ankle also. Yes, Katarina, ask. Oh, you need to unmute yourself.
I did, yes. It's my coordination, how long it takes me to do. Raise my hand, unmute. I'm so excited. I've had flat feet all my life. I call them mermaid feet, flat and wide. And the past 6-7 years, I've had both my hips replaced, and it was really painful before each of them happened. And the right hip was my second one replaced. And the right foot had to work so hard for so long. My right calf is tight. So now I've had it replaced. Things are better there, but nobody's professionally told me, but my flat foot has no support. And I wear Birkenstocks. I have my own orthotics, but without it, it's been such a challenge. And so I'm concerned about my hip because of that, the support. But doing this ankle thing, I'm like, everything that holds my arch is going, hello. So I've been searching. I do these little exercises, but this is right up there for that. And again, gives me hope that all they want to remember and go up and give that extra bit of support, that just going for a walk is something that I can do without thinking, okay, how am I going to do this? Because I can walk.
Okay. Okay. So, Katarina.
Yes.
This one's for you, girl.
Okay.
Let's see if I can do this. Move my poles. Oh, do I love this lesson? So one day, in my early 20s, I walked 5 miles. At the point when I wasn't living with Moshe anymore, I moved to the other part of Tel Aviv, and it was about 5 miles away. And I didn't have good shoes. I didn't have money for good shoes anyway. And I walked, and my feet were hurting, and I felt like what sounded like a bunion. I was pronating, falling in on my arch. And I showed it to Moshe, and he goes, oi, 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 it's a family thing. And especially from one woman to the next. So not only did my father have those with his feet, but my mother had them with her feet. And so it's very genetic. And he goes, I'm going to show you what you can do. And we not only reversed it, it never happened again. So I never got a bunion. So I'm now in my 60s and I don't have a bunion. And this is what I do. This is one of the things, and this is for you. Oh, where am I going to get this? Okay, here we go. Take off my sock is one of my favorite lessons. So I told Linda, I told Linda, I'm going to teach you guys a lesson that's called kicking the sand. And with the flicking of the foot with the sand, which is going to help you, but this one will help you first. Okay, before we get to flicking the sand. And then Linda was going to go into something that tied in with the flicking of the sand, which I don't remember, but maybe Linda does, but it doesn't matter. It's all good. We're going to go here to the foot. And so you see, I'm just drawing my toes up. Okay. Now, do you see? So what I'm doing now, so let's say I pronated more on this side. Let's say I was flat on this side. And by pronating, I'm putting all the weight on this toe, which is going to make this toe go out, called a bunion, and it'll push this toe all the way in. That's what happens when we don't have the arch. So how do we build that arch? We're not building it muscular wise, we're building it coordination wise, right? So we just are doing this kind of lesson, and see what I'm doing now. Look what happens all the way up my leg. So what happens in the bottom of my foot happens in my knee and happens in my hip. Right? So if you have the mermaid feet, they're fantastic for swimming, right? But they can give you a problem on the where the arch is, because we don't just have an arch here, we have an arch here. So if
can you point out exactly where?
Yes, yes. Is? So we have an arch here between the ball of our foot and our heel. We also have an arch under the whole ball of the foot. And so Do you see how the foot, you have to look in the video where I'm putting my fingers, wrapping them under my foot and wrapping around the big toe and then wrapping around the small toes. And I'm rounding the foot side to side where the bottom of the big toe and the bottom of the small toe come closer together. Then they go further apart. They come closer together. They come further apart. So I activate these muscles here under the big arch and the smaller arch that's under the foot. And it's not by doing balls and business of exercising, it's coordination. It's this soft, gentle movement. Do you see? Of just sweeping the toes. I'm just sweeping the toes along the floor. And I can even add the movement of my hand. So I'm drawing the toes closer to the heel and the heel closer to the toes. And the ankle goes out to the side. And then they come back down on top of the foot. And then they come closer to each other. So, but I'm not scrunching. I'm literally just sweeping them closer and back. Sweeping them closer and back. And I'm just building this octopus motion of the foot. So the hand is like an octopus and the foot is like an octopus, because the hands and the feet are so much the same. And this can help knee pain and hip pain and back pain, because people that have big back issues, often I'll look and see that in the ankles. The ankles are stiff and the toes are stiff. The feet are stiff. That's why we say, do not put children in hard shoes. Babies, let them be barefoot. The most you're going to put them in when they're a toddler is a moccasin. Let them keep this movement, this octopus movement of their feet. When they don't have that opportunity, they're going to have back pain, because they're going to walk according to that.
Does that Eleanor, make sense? Will you talk a little bit about if the issue was supinating instead of pronating? I think I know what you're going to say, but I just want to be sure I'm right here.
Well, I'm just meaning, you mean when people are
what I'm asking is, can't you do the same thing sort of in reverse if they're supinating? Because you'd be looking at asking that side of their foot to...
No. I'm glad you asked. No. Great. Oh, thank you. That same lesson will help a supinator. In other words, what Becky's asking is the person who stands and wears out the heel on the outside of the heel. Okay. That was me. I was always a wear it on the outside. And then one day someone said, God, you're wearing all your shoes on the outside. You need to stand a little more like this. And then I don't know what happened. I fell in on the inside. I didn't find where that was. And so so I very much so, but my father was that way, and everyone in my dad's side were bold legged, mm-hmm. right? Because we're standing on the outside. And so they're going to go, oh, there's her leg. It's starting to bow on that side, blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's okay. No worries. And so my mother did the let's play with her feet, because my parents did Feldenkrais work since they were in their 30s. So they had learned it in the 50s with Moshe. And so we did this and it didn't get in. Now, every so often, something got the better of me. I walked too far in bad shoes and my gait went off. Hey, you know what? If you're going to be like Moses and wander for 40 years in the desert, you're going to have feet issues. So, and they only did that in Nimrod sandals. I don't know how they did that. Lest I get off track. Whether you are a pronator, meaning falling in on your feet, or a supinator by standing on the outside, which most people, by the way, have, they're more on the outside on one and more on the inside on another. It's not, it doesn't matter. Doing this lesson is creating a coordination cascade. Doing this lesson creates a coordination cascade through the whole system.
Which corrects either side. Yeah, I got you.
The whole system gets it. And that
Thank you.
Happens all the way up. Yeah. And so then now the thing that you do, okay, because this is, we got to do that before we kick the sand. In the kicking the sand lesson, you can do that with your feet and, right? So I'm doing it with my feet and my hands. So put your feet on the floor, your hands on your lap, and then you do the sliding of the feet, right? Just ever so sliding. Ever so sliding of the feet towards the heel, and imagining you're bringing the heel towards the feet, and your hands are in your lap doing the same thing.
That's brilliant, Eleanor.
Yeah. And you truly get in touch with your inner octopus. That's an intelligence. Moshe called it the bell lesson. And I'm like, are you kidding? That's the octopus. And Becky, if you want to talk about core schmore, the whole octopus is it. And they don't have a center line. That's what I'm talking. That. Wow. Mm-hmm. Right? Of course, they don't have a spine, so they do it a different way. We have a spine and we have all the spinal muscles and we want them balanced. And so here, but when we get in touch with this ancient, ancient part of us, and we can do this with our feet and our fingers, sometimes even very crooked spines can start to uncrooked. And the reason is there is this thing that's beautiful called biotensegrity. And that biotensegrity is that everything connects with everything. Yeah. So when there is this coordination of movement, of something that is so real and so old, and the hand and the feet are doing it at the same time, and you are remembering to breathe and be in touch with all that is, everything in that moment improves. Everything in that moment improves.
We can bring the movement of the spine.
Say that again.
And we can bring the movement of the spine with it.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, and we got it all. We open
right.
It.
Right. And look it. I can do it three. I can do three bell octopus movements of the hands and only one rocking of my pelvis. And I can take my head and look up and turn. And then I can come back and I can turn and I can look up to the other side as I'm also every so often doing this with my feet.
Yeah. Wow.
There is something in your head that opens.
Wow.
And open your eyes, look past your ceiling, that whatever is a ceiling in here is not even here. It's not even the reality. The reality is you are already connected with all that is out and back. Feel that whatever that is in your force goes way past you and connects. And in those moments, everything in your body becomes one. And it's not about strength. And it's not about power. It is about being connected. And that the universe as a whole, when we're in that same frequency in movement with it, then the pain is not so hard in the body.
Hmm? Well, and Elner, I just want to say, I'm both sad and glad that I used the word strengthen, because on one level, that's not what I meant. I was just noticing what was happening. But on the other hand, I think how you've shifted your language is really important for anybody who does exercise, because the bottom line is we cut exercise up into this weird where we overstrengthen some things and then we underdo other muscles. So people get really out of line. And the beauty of Feldenkrais is that because it's calling you back to center, it's calling you back to all of those muscle trains coming into their natural order, it begins to correct all of that. I mean, the danger that we do all the time is focus on strengthening something. And so I end up with people in my yoga classes whose bodies are so asymmetrical, it's just sad. And if you do some Feldenkrais in there, it sorts all that out.
I love that. Thank you. Pam, unmute yourself. Good to see you.
It's nice to see you. I have a couple observations, but they will end if you needed to go on.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I've done some of these kinds of Feldenkrais lessons, mainly because of the ankle things, because I had really extensive ankle surgery in 2019, and half my foot has no feeling. And I have enough that I notice it, but, you know, it kind of gets better and worse, and I've done lots of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But two things really struck me. This sliding out forward, and, you know, and of course, I can kind of feel my toes on the outside of my left foot, but the simple slide of the back got really interesting. And I have probably double the sensation I did when we started. I can really, yeah. And it's not like I haven't done stuff, this kind of thing, but I think coupling it with some of the walking things we did. And then the other thing that caught my attention when you were talking, you said, you know, kind of, you know, curl your toes and bring your heel toward your toe. Wanted to lift up, and it's like, no, that's not what we're doing. And I kind of figured out how to bring, I did it on my right foot instead of left. So I kind of, you know, just played with it till I could feel that just slightest indication that my heel actually went toward my toes. And then what happened is I felt something at the high lumbar, low thoracic vertebrae just went, oh.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it was like, oh. So, and I played around with that a little bit on my left foot that had, I mean, I had no tendons, crushed bones. You know, it was, you know, it was amazing. I was walking around on it. Didn't hurt.
And that's because the heel area connects up to the extensors, right? So that's where it connected right into the,
This little thing, and I can't go find it again, but it's like, I think it's there. But I just wanted to mention that just even today, I am more enough than I've had. And this idea of bringing the heel toward the toes is really kind of fun. So thank you.
Yeah, I mean, who would think, right? Yeah. And the only reason that I said bring the heels to the toes is because to me, the heel is my thumb, my toes are my fingers, and I wanted to bring the fingers to the thumb and the thumb to the fingers to make the octopus instead of the heel being the heel of the hand. But I wanted to bring the front and the back, because then when I bring the thumb to my fingers, then the heel of my hand comes towards it and the hand becomes soft. Do you see? The hand becomes soft, because what happens as people age is hands hurt.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so it's like, I know. Look at that.
Yeah.
Pulsation.
Well, and that's pulsation. Yeah. And to think about that, our feet can make that movement. It's fascinating. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah. Look at a baby. They do it. That's where it came from. I'm watching a baby and like, hot. How do they know that?
Do that.
Someone make a course after that baby. Okay. Thank you, Pam. And Eva.
Yeah, I just want to tell you how impressed I was with the pole lesson. Now I go to the beach in Netanya where there are so many elderly people. And I start giving, you know, I ask them, you have 10 minutes for me? And I start giving them, you know, slow lessons on how they can use the pose differently. In 10, 15 minutes, you know, there was this elderly guy that I know from the store. And he suddenly started flying and he said, I feel so young. And he was starting using the pose like that. Yep. 10 minutes, you know, yep. It was just magical to see the transformation. But now a friend of mine told me you should take a picture of him and then send, you know, instead of giving a card, just send your name. And I did with friends, you know, pose lessons, and it's just amazing. Where they did not really enjoy lying on the floor and doing the ATM and the whole thing, had no patience with it. And here, they go for it, you know? And they've even asked me, what about lying on the floor now? You know, now that they know why they do that. It's reversed the process. So it opens a whole new horizon for me. And I enjoy doing it.
Well, and it's interesting, Eva, because so much of T-touch was always taught not in the lying position. And as in Ruthie Alon's teachings with Bones for Life and Walk for Life and all of those programs, also not lying down on the floor. And we would be to the point begging her, please, can we lie down? And the same that we would do with Linda. Those of us that were Feldenkrais practitioners knew we needed to rest. Yeah. And we needed either to go like this in the chair or on our sofa or to lie down to get the anti-gravity muscles. And so little by little, a couple of times Linda would say, okay, she'd open up a tall table and have a person lie down, and then we'd stand around that person and do the T-touch. So it gives us the opportunity to do it in different ways that fit in the right moment, that it's not only the one way, because a lot of people, they don't want to lie down.
Yeah.
Or maybe in a place where you can't. Yeah.
And one thing that I'm trying to play with, and maybe you have more ideas, and going to Netanya on the beach, you have a long stairway. So I try to walk with my, and see how I can facilitate going up and down the stairs with the sticks, with the poles. So maybe.
Well, up and down the stairs is without the poles. With the stairs, but there's a whole grouping of lessons for stairs. And there's a whole grouping of lessons that's called falling up the stairs.
Oh, okay.
Not falling down the stairs, it's falling up the stairs. And it's absolutely beautiful. And one time I went to visit Ruthie, the stairs in her home was maybe 600 years old. And it had been through many generations. And so the stairs are stone and they were unreasonably steep. I mean, they were not the level that you see anywhere else because they were from way back when. And to watch her at 90, literally go, and I'm like, I'd immediately take out my iPad and go, video it. Did you get that? I'm like, I did, because that was elegant, because those are unreasonably steep. So maybe beaches at stairs at beaches can also be steep, steep like that. They're not the step. So there's a way to do this beautiful flow fall up that is absolutely exquisite. And that could be for another time. No muscles were used in that movement, but that grouping.
So Eleanor.
Yes,
the flicking. Hold on, we're at the time when we need another break. And
great.
The plan is that in the last hour, it's not quite, won't be a full hour, that we have a chance to share in the last hour.
Okay, so if you let me, when we come back, to do 5 minutes of flicking the toes.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Flicking the sand, and then that can lead into, I don't remember what it was, but there was something beautiful.
Well, the thing is, in this, we need time for people to share. That's what the last hour is about. So we'll hold that for the next time. And we'll do the flicking of the sand, because this is so exciting, because we're waiting for that. So it's 18 after, we will come back.
Okay.
Thank you. Brilliant. And we want to hear sharing. Stop the recording.